Blackhawks Live.
Fire! Score!
Go Blackhawks!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, it's time for Blackhawks Live.
Two shots on the power play, but nothing to show for it on the board. Gets in front, that one's in!
We've got some really good pieces here at Michigan, and I'm just looking forward to getting on the ice and working with them towards that goal.
Blackhawks Live. Everything you need to know about your Chicago Blackhawks. Here's Joe Brand with Chris Bowden.
Well, it sure has been a wild, wild week in the NHL. Postponements and then cancellations. So here we are, Blackhawks Live on a Wednesday night. He's WGN-TV's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. We have Mel Pearson, head coach of the Michigan Wolverines, set to join with us later on in the show because, Chris, we don't get to talk about Team USA at the NHL level at this year's Olympics, so we'll talk about the World Junior Championship coming on in actually just a couple of days. So we'll bring in Mel Pearson, but first and foremost, Chris, thank you so much for joining me today and not just bailing on the show after what I put on the internet earlier today.
Yeah, we have to talk about some things here, Joe. We'll get around to hockey, but first of all, I hope if Coach Pearson has seen your video that you tweeted out, posted on Facebook as well, I hope he will still be joining us after seeing said video. First question, are you still in your Blackhawks onesie?
I'm not. I dressed okay. Down or dressed up, I guess.
Okay, that's good. And you're looking especially boyish now that the mustache is gone as well. How much did that fetch, by the way?
That ended up accumulating, I think, so the number on the Salvation Army website here through WGN, I believe, was around 97,000.
Very nice.
David Hochberg still had a donation of his own and a few of his colleagues, so I think it was somewhere north of 120. However, I can't take any credit, or all credit, I should say. My mustache cannot take that credit. John Williams and David Hochberg were on the radio for a couple of hours. They did a great job. That's where most of the credit gets, not my upper lip.
Well, and our big question, obviously, earlier today was whether you should grow back the mustache. My main question is the health and well-being of one cat of yours. I'm concerned off of that video that we may have to get PETA involved. How is Plankton doing right now? And don't tell a lie. Tell us the truth after you put some holiday getup on him.
Plankton, my one-eyed cat, tolerated the reindeer suit. He wasn't a big fan of it, but he's got
some plans for you when you get back home tonight.
I think so. He feels paralyzed when he gets a costume like that on, so he just hardly moves. But he tolerates it, like I said. That's why I didn't tag Mel Pearson on any of my posts. Thankfully, you did that. So, again, we're going to be talking with the head coach of Michigan hockey, the University of Michigan hockey team. Also, just a lot of things going on through the NHL, through the Blackhawks. The Hawks are off until December 28th against Columbus. The United Center is enhancing their rules and restrictions due to COVID. Anyone older than 5 years old will now need to show proof of full vaccination to enter the building. Yesterday at practice for the Blackhawks, Jujhar Kara skated with the team for the first time since going into concussion protocol. Henrik Borgstrom returned to the team after he was out for a non-COVID related illness. Calvin DeHaan is the only Blackhawk in COVID protocol right now, and obviously we hope the best for Calvin DeHaan, speedy recovery, but that is good news considering what's going on throughout the entire NHL. But the biggest and main news of the day, Chris, NHL announcing that the players will not be competing in the Winter Olympics this year.
Yeah, and it's probably definitely the wise move to do, because there were a lot of reservations. I'm guessing there's still a handful of players who were gung-ho about this opportunity to represent their country in Beijing, but I think that's certainly been tamped down pretty heavily by what some of the restrictions would be if they were to go over there and contract something. The quarantine length, 3 to 5 weeks from what we are understanding. But with what has transpired here over the course, since our last show, really, with what's happened in the NHL, they are going to need those 16, 17 days that were blocked out for the Olympic break in order to make up 50 postponements. I think as we stand right now, that includes 3 Blackhawks games, all home games, Calgary last week, Florida was supposed to be played last night, and then the rematch against the Dallas Stars tomorrow night. So The least popular position, perhaps in all of the world right now, is NHL schedule maker, as they try to make all these games up and try to refigure. And that is with the caveat that, you know, we're able to pick things up in a relatively prompt manner, and everyone is able to stay healthy, and there aren't any more postponements. And knock on wood, we can do that, but it's just not going to be simple as snapping fingers when teams report back on the 26th, or in the Blackhawks' case, the 27th, and start things up again. There are still going to be more cases, but hopefully it will be reduced to the level where teams aren't going to have to postpone games. And travel can open up as well between the Canadian and U.S. borders, as far as the NHL rulings on how that was all going down here late in the week.
Yeah, and it looks like right now the NHL is using a pocket of February 6th through the 22nd to use that time to make up some games. But just for the aspect of players not getting to represent their countries, I mean, we understand why this is happening. I would happen to agree with it. I think a lot of other people would too. But it's disappointing to see, and it's another frustrating moment that we're just all going through. And Patrick Kane seemed really disappointed yesterday after the practice that he won't get to compete in the Olympics. Here's something he had to say about his teammates that he was hoping to play with in red, white, and blue.
Well, yeah, I mean, both those guys are just having amazing years, and would definitely help out the U.S. team a lot. I mean, Seth is just an unbelievable player. I knew he was a good player, but he's kind of exceeded my expectations as far as like his all-around game and what he brings to the team when he's on the ice, how he moves the puck up the ice from the defensive zone, how he jumps in the play. Pretty much everything, but he's been incredible for us. And the Brinkat, he was, you know, kind of a guy I was looking forward to maybe even playing with over there. And yeah, I really like playing with him and enjoy being on the ice with him. He would have helped our team a lot over there too. I just think in general, you know, for USA Hockey, we would have put together a pretty competitive team. And that's disappointing. I don't think that'll change 4 years from now, but just would have been fun to have that opportunity to see what we can do and kind of welcome the next generation of USA Hockey players in and be able to be a part of that.
So kind of a somber Patrick Kane there, but you know how much he loves competing for Team USA, and now he's unable to do so since 2014 because of what happened in 2018 and now here in 2022. But man, how about the high praise to Seth Jones too? Just basically stuff that we've been talking about lately, but it's kind of really interesting to hear Patrick Kane put it that way too.
Yeah, and I think Alex DeBrincat would have been a slam dunk to make that roster too, and you can sense the disappointment in Patrick's voice because you know, it's almost a situation where you take for granted. He was a part of that 2010 silver medal team in Vancouver, one of the greatest hockey tournaments and perhaps the greatest Olympic hockey tournament in recent history that people have in mind. And then he got to the 2014 games, and you're almost thinking, okay, without even thinking about it, there's going to be several more in the bank here. But 2018, the NHL doesn't go. And now 2022, when I think, you know, he was going to be the captain of the American team in Beijing. Now seeing that opportunity slip through at age 33, it's not saying he isn't capable of being an Olympian and one of the best American players 4 years down the road. We have talked time and again with the way Patrick has advanced his game, has stayed in shape, and could play. And he's even discussed himself how he wants to play until 40. So going to the Olympics 4 years from now is not out of the realm of possibility. But, you know, with all these last two opportunities that have fallen by the wayside, you could almost sense he's looking back kind of wistfully at 2010 and the entire atmosphere of what was Vancouver and that game going to overtime before finally having to settle for silver against some of his Blackhawks teammates. You know, time slips away quickly, and you don't know what's around the corner, so you could sense that in Patrick's voice yesterday after practice.
I sense that, too, but let's be honest, it's kind of hard for any of us not to reminisce these days. Speaking of that, let's reminisce about the 2010 Olympics. If you can call in 312-981-7200, and for a Boyke's prize pack, if you can call in and give us the name of the player from Team USA that tied the game in the gold medal game of the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver. Again, 312-981-7200. We're looking for the American that tied the game in the gold medal game against Canada in 2010 of the Winter Olympics. You win a Boyke's prize pack. Always be sure to go to Boyke's.com. Use the promo code WGN for a 10% off your first order. We're going to get to that after this break.
Well, I mean, it's just a tough situation for everybody, right? I mean, you're excited to be able to get the chance to represent your country. You know, obviously, I'm 33 right now, so you're hoping that you can obviously play as many as possible. But you know, I don't know if it really would have been like a true Olympic experience this year with, you know, being in a bubble and you know, all the worries going over there. So we'll kind of see what happens right now. But, you know, definitely fortunate to play in Sochi. And, you know, Vancouver was just unbelievable. I don't think the Olympic experience is going to be, you know, even close to comparable to what we had there in 2010. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, always want to represent your country anytime you get a chance. And felt like I would have had a chance to be in like a leadership role this year. So it would have been fun to play with a lot of, you know, younger players, some great players around the league. So, yeah, I guess we'll kind of see how it unfolds here.
Well, we're going to need the Dream Police to create some NHL Olympic hockey in our minds because, unfortunately, that's not happening this year. I don't mean to be too much of a downer at the beginning of the show, but that is the biggest news coming from today. The NHL announcing its players won't compete in the Olympics here in Beijing, or rather in Beijing this season. Patrick Kane clearly disappointed with what he could have done. You know, it's Patrick Kane came in to Chicago as this young kid, this guy that was supposed to revamp the organization, and he did. And it's always kind of, it always kind of reminds me that, oh yeah, this guy isn't this kid anymore. He's now wearing an A on his sweater. A lot of the players in the Blackhawks look up to this guy. And now he was looking to do that role for Team USA. And that's got to be a big bummer for 88.
Yeah, and I would have loved, I think everybody would have loved to seen how that team would have fared. It ain't just the three Blackhawks. You're talking about Austin Matthews. You're talking about any number of other players as, you know, the team, as Hockey USA has continued to grow and supply in the pipeline that the NHL has right now. What a talented group, probably the most talented group with all due respect to the 80 and 84 squad with Eddie Olczyk and all those guys who had to defend what the Miracle on Ice did back in 1980, but from a pure talent standpoint, how they would have held up against the Canadas and the other international superpowers, be it Russia or Sweden or, you know, Finland, which has really started coming on of late. There are a couple of other Blackhawks who probably would have made the trip, whether it was Taves and Marc-Andre Fleury for Team Canada, but then you're talking Philip Kurashev. Even Lucas Reichel probably could have played for a German nation that's really been up and coming internationally. And you know, that'll be kind of a theme of what we talk about here in the second half hour with the World Junior Championships coming up. But I would have loved to seen, you know, and right now it's just a dream world how that American hockey team would have held up and how far they would have gotten in the medal chase in Beijing in a couple of months.
Well, and we shouldn't be remiss to mention that the Team USA of the women's hockey team will be competing in February in our very own Kendall Coyne Schofield, the captain of that team. So we'll do our best to hear from Kendall Coyne Schofield later on, too, this year, as we've gotten to talk to her about her recent book that's been released, too. Again, we're giving away a Boyke's prize pack, 312-981-7200. If you can call in and give us the name of the American that scored the game-tying goal in the gold medal game of the 2010 Winter Olympics, Team USA against Canada. Obviously, Canada won that game. Sidney Crosby winning the overtime game winner.
The golden goal,
yeah. Oh, goodness. Jonathan Toews scored in that game, too. He was the first Canadian goal.
Yeah.
Man, what a game.
I've been tempted to look it up because I cannot remember the answer to your question. What I do remember is Patrick Kane, I believe, had the primary assist. I'm remembering how that play unfolded in a scramble in front of the net. I remember Kane firing a shot that Roberto Luongo, the hometown goaltender for the Vancouver Canucks, right, was able to push aside. And then there was a bit of a scramble in front of the net. And I cannot remember exact. I have a couple of candidates in my mind, but I can't remember exactly which one it was that ended up gathering up that rebound and tying it and slamming into the glass there as a stunned crowd in Vancouver kind of listened in silence, although there were their fair share of Americans in attendance in that itty-bitty arena in Vancouver for that Olympic gold medal game.
That's a very good memory, Chris, because
recently... I can't remember the name, though. That's who it was. Is the player still active?
Yes.
Okay.
There was a little stipulation with that, but yeah, the direct answer is yes.
Okay.
It brought me back though, because I was in college when we were watching that game, and the next door neighbors didn't even know that a game was going on, and they knocked over like, "Is everything okay?" It sounded like something very tragic happened in here, but we just all just jumped out of our seats when Team USA tied it up. And yeah, you're absolutely right, Patrick Kane. See, I don't know. I don't have the box score on me. I don't know if he had the primary assist, but you're absolutely right on. He's the one that took the shot from the right circle, and then there was a scramble in the crease. What's crazy about it, too, though, is it reminds me of the ending of the 2011 playoffs for the Blackhawks, who they got eliminated by the Vancouver Canucks after they tied it late and then lost in overtime. And all that energy, all that positivity you had just totally got deflated in a matter of moments in overtime.
Yeah, it was. And that was an unbelievable finish too. Vancouver for a while there was the site of so many dramatic and outstanding games. Not so outstanding from Game 7 in 2011 for the Blackhawks, but a lot of things happening there. But you know what? The Canucks ended up coming up empty. They never won a Stanley Cup. So
that's true.
Vancouver.
That's true. They went all the way that year, but then fell to the Boston Bruins. And and then the Blackhawks went on and won two more times. Okay, we're still giving away a Boykies prize pack. Again, be sure to check out Boykies.com. That's BOIKEYS.com. It's Biltong. It's much better and healthier for you than beef jerky, but it's a lot like it. Again, we're giving away that prize pack. But after the news, we're going to be talking with Mel Pearson, the head coach of Michigan's hockey team. Talk to him about a few players that are heading to the World Juniors that are on his roster. And he's also had to coach against a couple of Blackhawks prospects who are also on that World Juniors roster. So that's why we're talking to Mel Pearson after the news. The longtime hockey coach and current head coach of the Michigan Wolverines, Mel Pearson, joins us here on Blackhawks Live. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. And, Coach, first of all, thank you so much for joining us so close to the holiday. We've got the NHL on hold right now, and there's going to be a lot of hockey fans and just a lot of sports fans tuned into the World Juniors Championship, and you've got a couple of players that are representing Team USA. You've also coached against a couple of Blackhawks prospects, but I think one of the main things we want to gather from you is, what's some of the exciting things going on about hockey's youth right now that is, you know, going to be kind of the main aspect that many sports fans are going to be tuned in the next couple of days?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Joe and Chris. Glad to be on. But it's exciting. The spotlight will definitely be on, the top 17 to 20-year-old hockey players from around the world, up in Edmonton and Red Deer, Alberta. So it's maybe not quite as big a deal in the United States, but actually in Canada and all over the world, the ratings are extremely high for this prestigious hockey tournament. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I've been a coach before involved, had a number of players there, and it's really a great tournament that really showcases some of the best young talent that we'll all see in the NHL someday soon.
Yeah, and Team USA is going for gold for the second consecutive year. If they accomplish that, it'll be the first time they've ever done that. But you have Matty Beniers and Mackie Samuskevich and Luke Hughes from the University of Michigan heading over there. Let's talk a little bit about Beniers, because he was awarded a letter, one of the alternate captains, along with one of the Blackhawks prospects, Landon Slaggart. Maddie, the number two overall pick in the 2021 NHL draft. As a matter of fact, four of the top five picks from this past summer's draft are on your roster right now. But Beniers in particular, what has he brought to your program? And tell us a little bit about him as a player as he heads off to Edmonton and Red Deer. Or Calgary.
Yeah, really good player. Yeah. Really good player. Obviously, he was on the team last year for that U.S. team. You know, played a good role, but this year they'll ask him to play a bigger role and be named one of the alternate captains. But he just makes your team better the moment he walks in the door. And I told a number of NHL teams that last summer prior to the draft. Is, he just connects your team. He's one of those players that seems to find a way to get everybody to like him, but it's sincere, and he likes the guys on the team too. But what I like about him as a coach is he plays the full 200 feet. He doesn't cheat for offense and give up defense. He prides himself in playing all around an all around game, and actually is really good defensively. As by his plus minus, he's plus 16 on our team, and you know is second on our team in points. So. He just plays your all-around game. He can play any position up front. He can kill penalties, which he does for our team at Michigan. Plays on the power play. Again, he's just a consummate team player and a really good all-around player.
Kind of want to stick with Beniers for a moment because, like you said, he played in these games last year. Last season, Kirby Doc, the Blackhawks forward, broke his wrist in it. And there was, you know, some backlash. But for the most part, organizations, fans understand the benefit of young players playing in these games. So what type of development or how much did playing in these games last year help Beniers' development heading into this year?
Yeah, well, it was huge. You really can't put a weight on it. It's big. It really helped his confidence level, especially because they did so well in the tournament.
Right.
The captain of the U.S. team last year was Cam York, who was played for us in Michigan last year as a defenseman. But just by being there and being around that, and then obviously having the success that they did, the U.S. team, when he came back to Michigan the second half, you could see it. You could just see he had a little bit more hop in his to a step and was really, you know, just from that short tournament, that 2-3 tournament, you know, really benefit and, you know, his confidence level. I think that's the biggest thing I saw is just really his confidence level. And then that's just multiplied going into this year for us in Michigan.
I want to circle back to your program and some of the individuals in it in a moment. But this season you faced a couple of the players that are under that are Blackhawks prospects as in college hockey. You defeated Minnesota Duluth 5-1 early on in the season. Wyatt Kaiser, a third-round draft pick of the Blackhawks, is on that team. And then a couple of tough losses about a month or so ago in Ann Arbor, overtime losses both to Notre Dame and Landon Slaggart, who is also wearing an A for Team USA, is part of that Notre Dame team, along with, I should add, Ryder Ralston, kind of an under-the-radar guy that the Blackhawks picked up in a trade from Colorado. But in terms of Kaiser and Slaggart, as an opposing coach, what do you see with those two individuals when you're going up against them?
Yeah, big fan of both of them. Obviously, Kaiser, a really good, smooth-skating defenseman. Has some offensive upside. He hasn't quite reached that potential yet, but I believe, you know, if he goes back for a couple more years, you're going to see a really good player in him. Just the way he gets around the ice sheet, can break the puck out, has some bite to his game, but just an all-around good hockey player. You know, obviously grew up in Minnesota, played high school hockey there, and a lot of those guys are really good skaters, and Wyatt is one, too. And he plays for a really good program. I mean, they know what it takes to win, and he's playing for a good coach in Scott Sandel at Duluth and playing for a winning program. That's going to really help him. But I'm a big fan of Wyatt Kaiser. I'm not surprised he's on the U.S. team. And, of course, Landon Slaggart, we played against him the last couple of years. So I've known Landon's dad, Andy Slaggart, who's a coach at Notre Dame for a long time. And Landon's going to add some real grittiness to any team he plays for. He plays the right way, plays hard, plays with some edge, plays with some bite. He's got decent offensive numbers this year, you know, 5-5. I think he's got 10 points at Notre Dame. But he's one of those kids who can come back and take off the second half because of his experience up there. But I think the Hawks have two bright, you know, have a bright future with those two young men. And, you know, like I said, I both really like them both. And I'll throw something in for Ryder Ralston. He's taken some big steps at Notre Dame this year, and he's got a chance to be a really good player. Big kid, skates well, shoots it a ton. So he's a guy to keep an eye on for Hawks fan down the road.
Again, we're talking to Mel Pearson, head coach of the Michigan Wolverines hockey team. Luke Hughes, a guy that you're pretty familiar with. And not only that, you coach his older brother, Quinn. Any similarities or differences that you notice between those two?
No, they're both great skaters. I mean, the apple hasn't fallen far from the tree there, you know, with all three of the brothers, with Jack and Jersey. But Luke's a hell of a skater. I mean, he can... he's an instant breakout, loves to get to the net, probably could play forward because of his skating and his offensive instincts, but very similar to Quinn in that way, in which they're tremendous skaters. And I think that's the thing that you notice about both of them right away. Really good hockey sense, you know, can see the ice well, has a real good feel for the game, as did Quinn. So very fortunate to have them both in Michigan. But I think the one difference is Lucas is big. He's going to be, when he fills out, you know, he's going to be 6'1", 6'2", probably about 195 pounds. And when you get a player that size and can skate like he does, he's going to be a heck of a player down the road. But both love the game, rink rats, and enjoy being around, and both winners.
I mentioned earlier that, four of the top five picks in this past draft are on your roster right now, including the number one overall pick in Owen Power, who decided to come back for another year at Michigan. Where I want to go with Owen is his development here with the Chicago Steel, and just a program and organization whose reputation has just grown here in recent years by leaps and bounds. What can you say about the pipeline that is going through this suburban Chicago program and what it did for Owen in particular?
Yeah, I tell hockey fans, if for some reason you don't get a chance to go see the Hawks or whatnot, that go over and watch the Chicago Steel. They've got some really good players there this year. And obviously, we've been fortunate to have some players that are on our roster now from Chicago. And they do a really nice job at the Steel, as good a job as any development team and program. But, we've got Owen Power, who, you know, was the number one pick overall this past summer and decided to come back to Michigan. And I think, you know, a couple of the reasons he did is he really didn't get that full college experience with COVID last year and playing in empty buildings and not being able to go to class. And, you know, I think he wanted to come back, you know, again, that's why he came to Michigan in the first place, is to have that college experience. And then also to, you know, we have a good team. We have a really good team, as you mentioned. You know, we had four of the top five picks in this year's draft. And, you know, we have another player, Mackie Samuskevich, who's also at the World Junior Tournament, who also played for the Chicago Steel, that's on our roster this year. So we've been very fortunate to have a good relationship with the Steel, and they've done a good job of developing those players for our level. And it's our job now is to continue that development path and make sure they're ready for the National Hockey League. But Owen's a tremendous talent and big, can skate, great hockey sense, plays well defensively. And there's a reason why he is selected number one overall in the draft.
One more and we'll let you go, Coach, but I want to pose a scenario for you. Luke Hughes scores a game-winning goal in any game, doesn't have to be the gold medal. He throws his stick into the crowd like Jack Hughes, his older brother, did against the Blackhawks earlier this year. Sure. Would he do something like that, and are you a fan of that?
As long as you don't have to reimburse the price of the blade, right?
Oh, yeah, he would. No problem. Luke would do that in a heartbeat. He's just a happy-go-lucky kid, loves the game, very emotional and excitable. So I could see him doing that in a heartbeat. What do I think of it? Well, as long as some young fan gets that stick and it doesn't hit anybody, I would be okay with it. But that's all part of the game, obviously, and these kids do have, you know, emotion, and they play with it, and they get excited. So that's a good thing that we have to keep in our sport.
Okay, that's the right answer. Good job, Coach. You passed the test.
Thanks. Like I said, if you get a chance to go watch a Steel, we've got a couple kids there. We've got a kid named Adam Fantilli who's got a chance to be one of the top, I think, three picks in this coming year's draft, and Adam's coming here to Michigan next year. He's a heck of a hockey player, so... anyway, they do a good job. But anytime you want to talk hockey, guys, I know I wish I was watching NHL tonight, but it's an interesting time we're all living, and hopefully hopefully it gets back on soon.
Absolutely. Well, again, we really appreciate you taking the time for us.
You're very welcome at any time, and I'm glad to see the Hawks got things turned around, anxious to see what they can do the second half.
Happy holidays, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Head coach Mel Pearson of the Michigan Wolverines ice hockey team. Man, more love for the Chicago Steel, which actually, Chris, right across the street from the Kane County Cougars ballpark.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about this Michigan team, his first year he takes them to the Frozen Four. Right. The 2019 season was kind of a rebuild, but these last two where he's had, you know, some potentially great teams, their season ends due to COVID. Once when they were already in the NCAA tournament, and once before they could even get in last year from his case there. You know, I would have loved to follow up and spend more time talking about managing expectations, right, both on the outside and within the room with all the talent that is in that locker room for Coach Pearson, and we'll see how they do this year. 14-6 so far this season, you know, kind of some ups and downs, and probably having to deal with some players who are coming in and out of the lineup, whether it's illness or losing some guys here to the World Junior Championships. They'll get back on the horse in their schedule, hopefully here in a week or so, but good luck to Coach Pearson and Michigan. We're happy to have him on here tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll keep an eye out for a few of those people that he mentioned, and some of the other players, too, for the World Junior Championship. Okay, we still got a Boyke's prize pack to give away. 312-981-7200. If you can tell us who scored the game-tying goal at the 2010 gold medal game for Team USA against Vancouver, that prize pack is yours. One more segment here of Blackhawks Live. You're listening to 720 WGN. Wrapping up Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. Okay, we posed a question for some free biltong. Again, it's not beef jerky, but it's like beef jerky. It's just better for you and healthier and all around better. The question was, who scored the game-tying goal of the 2010 gold medal game between Team USA and Team Canada? Who scored that game-tying goal for Team USA? We've got Jim, who's got a guess. Jim, what's your guess?
My guess is Zach Parise.
We got a winner.
All right, Jim.
Jim, where were you when you watched that game?
I was in my dorm room at Illinois State.
Okay.
All these college kids back in 2010 watching the game in their dorm rooms while I'm an old man sitting in my living room watching it. You guys are way too young for me. But, yeah, I was tempted to go look at the box score. Instead, I looked at the roster to see if I could get a clue. And I got it down to two guys, whether it was Zach Parise or Joe Pavelski, who was on that team and who continues to haunt the Blackhawks to this day, to last weekend in Dallas against the Blackhawks in that 4-3 overtime loss. But, indeed, it was Zach Parise. So way to go. Way to go, you youngster, Jim.
Jim, congratulations. We're sending you home with some biltong. How does that sound?
I'm super excited.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jim.
That's Jim. Congrats to him for winning biltong. And yeah, Zach Parise. Ryan Kesler had the first goal.
Yeah. And he threw shade at his Canucks teammate, Roberto Luongo, who was going up against. I remember there was a first intermission interview in that game. This is another thing I do remember. I didn't remember it was Zach Parise, but I remember Kesler being interviewed at the first intermission playing for Team USA, and he was saying Roberto Luongo looked a little shaky in net for Team Canada.
Wow.
Here's his Canucks teammates, and he's throwing them under the bus, but all in the name of international hockey, right? You know?
See, I always wondered that because it's so much more valuable, or it's so much more prominent in hockey than other sports, I would say. I guess basketball is the next closest, yeah, out of the big four with baseball, football, and basketball. That seems like a pretty heavy statement to make to your goaltender, but you know what? I wonder if he actually did that, because didn't Roberto Luongo kind of have that reputation of being a little uneasy?
A little psychologically weak. But we say that with the fact that he was knocking on the door for 500 career wins,
true,
as well for his NHL career, which is pretty darn good.
So, no, yeah, well, and the only reason I remember that is because of you know what success the Blackhawks had against him in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was a video once where they just put in headphones and they played Chelsea Dagger. And they did it to all the Vancouver Canucks, and they're like, "Do you recognize the song? Do you recognize the song?" And most guys are like, "Yeah, yeah, I need to put it away." And Luongo puts the headphones in, and I think within the first 3 seconds, he just ripped them right out.
Yeah, that's a nightmare for him. And I remember being in that Canucks locker room after the 09 playoffs when he started breaking down after the Blackhawks stunned them. Patrick Kane hat trick in the clinching game, as a matter of fact, in the 09 playoffs. And that's when the Blackhawks era was really pointing up. So hopefully we're going to hear some Chelsea Dagger here starting Tuesday once again. Hopefully action will resume when the Blackhawks are scheduled to take on Columbus at the United Center. And before we wrap up, I want to talk about my favorite thing of the week since our last show. And it was the fact that you were sitting next to a guy in those last two home games who made his return to the booth. And the greatest part, from a results standpoint, is he had a lot of excitement to cover in that 5-4 overtime victory over Washington last Wednesday. Not so much because Nashville did what Nashville does in the game on Friday night at the United Center. But it was good to, I imagine, very good to have that guy sitting next to you in the booth on Wednesday and Friday last week.
Absolutely. It was that was the best present I could have gotten. Just being able to talk hockey with him, but more importantly, learn hockey from him. I mean, he does it better than, so many people. He just knows the right way to put things into words and break down the game in small increments and large increments and a whole lot of...
And I hope Troy pranked you at least once or twice during the course
of the season. Gave me a hard time. He didn't necessarily have a prank, but he definitely gave me a hard time. But, it was great to see the camaraderie with John and Troy once again. It was well welcomed.
And great to listen to him as well. When's our next Blackhawks Live, Joe? We're all over the map here lately.
I got to check the schedule on my way out. So once I figure that out...
We think it's Monday.
We think it's just wait for another embarrassing video of me on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. This has been Blackhawks Live. Everyone have a great holiday. We'll talk to you next week on 720 WGN.